The new home for the wise guys on the net is LVRocks.com. That's LV as in Las Vegas, R-O-C-K-S.com, LVRocks.com. Listen to the Wise Guys show on the web from noon to 2 at LVRocks.com.
Originating from Las Vegas, Nevada, you're listening to LV Rocks. Noise from Vegas. The following is a live LV Rocks original webcast. Visit LVRocks.com for studio cam and live chat room.
Welcome back to another edition of Subject to Discussion live on LVRocks.com. Happy 4th of July, everybody. And that was the Centurion in charge, Mr. Consular. Thank you very much. And if it's Tuesday in Las Vegas, it's time for Subject to Discussion. There he is. Thank you very much. One of the few areas on the radio, LV Rocks, that has original programming on the holidays. Maybe it was a mistake. I don't know. Anyway, and... These Daleks didn't like it. Daleks are getting paid time and a half for today, but and after the news to me, I got a lot of good email. I got like 20 emails. People like the whole news hour, so we'll try it again. And then not like beating a horse to death, you know what I'm saying? And then Daleks are upset. Actually, we got some news from the Doctor Who world. And Koenig will be on at the end of the program for a little update on Doctor Who. And then in the second hour, it'll be Michelle. She runs the HangerDeck5.com website. And they had the Golden Toaster Awards last week, and she'll go with over the reviews of who won what and why, and the winners and the losers, and also Ron Moore and his wife got involved in these awards as well. So that'd be interesting. And then the program is also podcasted. Thank you, everybody, for listening to the podcast. And, of course, everybody in the chat room. And, of course, the program is archived over on SpankWagon.net. SpankWagon's on every Friday, followed by King Hesh here on LVRocks.com. And actually, I believe tomorrow is the second anniversary of Daily Noise here on LV Rocks. So we congratulate them on their two-year anniversary, I believe, right? 2 years. And also, what else is going on? Oh, the program is part of the antiradio.net family of programs. Thank you. And actually, I was just telling Khan up the street. I was at the 7-Eleven buying some water, and I walked in on like a little sting operation. They're arresting these people for buying alcohol for underage kids in there. So I'm like, whoop. And it's like the second or third time I run in on some kind of a sting operation in that 7-Eleven. Yeah, shut that damn thing down. The first one was, what were they walking on the last time? Oh, somebody broke the window. And in the store, they're trying to steal the slot machine that's in there. I'm like, how the hell are they going to get those things out of there? It's like 500 pounds of slot machine. And then the time before, I forgot what else. It was an air robbery, I think it was. The counter was just robbed. Or I don't know, whatever it was. So this is the third thing I walked in on over there. And actually, a couple years ago, I walked in on a robbery. Where was it? Over at the hell was it? Lamar's Donuts over there on... Where was that? On, I'm trying to think. Sahara? Who cares? But anyway, it's a Lamar's Donuts. They had like, 34 flavors of donuts. Anyway, I was going into the store, and this idiot runs into me walking out and running out. And then I walk in. I like some donuts, please. And they go, oh, we were just robbed. I don't care. Give me my donuts. You know what I mean? But walked right, and the guy just sideswiped me walking in. He's running out. I was walking in. I'm like, jackass. And it turns out the idiot was robbing this damn store. And they're all underneath the counter. I don't know what was going on. Hell, I know, man. They're doing some kind of yoga or something between customers. You know, hello, I want some donuts. And they all scream, we were just robbed. So anyway, I end up going down the street to Krispy Kreme then, because the service was very slow at the Lamar's Donuts. And then what else? Anyway, so before I get into the news,
have been a hero.
I didn't know what was going on. The guy ran into me. I don't know. I thought he was just, you know, clumsy or something, you know, and like I needed a donut, but still, you know. And then today's Las Vegas Review Journal, of course, they talk about the shuttle went up today, so we wish them luck on their mission. And there's a rumor floating around the next shuttle will bear the name Galactica. No, I'm kidding. Well, they had one Enterprise. Why not name one Galactica, for crying out loud? And NASA to go have its launch. They went have its launch, and then before that they had lunch. So they launch and lunch. And then the Honor Guard, talk about the new wrinkle, about the Air Force's flag folding ceremonies lose religious references. They're starting to take religion out of these flag folding ceremonies with the Air Force. And they talk about this guy who had had brain damage, how the brain was somehow self-healing itself. This Terry Wallace awoke from a coma-like state 19 years after tumbling over a guardrail in a Chevy pickup and falling 25 feet into a dry Ozarks riverbed. So now that he's starting to make noise and regained his speech and movement after being barely conscious more than 19 years. The only thing he remembers is Reagan was the president of the United States. Boy, is he in for a rude awakening here. And also, what else? We had of course, North Korea launched a bunch of missiles and over the Sea of Japan, and they're all up in arms over that. And just waiting for a response from Japan. Apparently, the United States is going to take a backseat to Japan and wait for them to respond. And also, we had this in the Nevada section of Las Vegas Review Journal. Talking about the nothing really too earth-shattering in this thing. 4th of July, no holiday for local soldier. Talk about this guy whose son is over in Iraq. So, and USA Today ran an article in yesterday's paper. Of course, they can't manage to get the paper on holidays, yet the local papers can. It's just, you know, mind-boggling. How Americans see Americans, to talk about how famous Americans view themselves as Americans. And also, some areas are too dry for fireworks. I was just telling Condit, the local radio stations were talking about how it's raining in some spotty areas in town, and it might endanger the fireworks display here. So I don't know about that, because it comes down for a few minutes and it stops. Like last night, I heard the thunder rumbling through the area, so unless it was gunshots, I don't know. And so with that, I think I'll go into the news to you. And wow, quite a few jumped into the chat room. Wow. And this first one is from New York City, Wiener Eater Champ. A 60-pound wonder from Japan set a new record by devouring a sickening 53 3/4 Frankfurters in 12 minutes to win the annual Independence Day hot dog eating competition on Coney Island. The feat earned Takehiro Kobayashi Maru, 27, his sixth annual straight title in the event, held at the original Nathan's famous hot dog stand on Brooklyn's seashore. He broke his own record of 53.5 hot dogs, set the same competition 2 years ago. What about And what about the relish? You know what I'm saying? And the next one is also from today, from Angier, North Carolina, or as Ric Flair says, North Kakalaki. Hot ice cream comes with a warning. This ice cream comes with the unusual stipulation. Customers must sign a waiver report before tasting it because it's so hot. This ice cream is called Cold Sweat, a flavor sold at ice cream shop Sunny Skies. It's made of three kinds of pepper and two kinds of hot sauce. It tastes like fire with a side of fire, said Scott McCallum, a regular customer. The shop's owner started out experimenting with jalapenos in vanilla ice cream to appeal to Hispanic customers, which was unsuccessful, and worked his way up to Cold Sweat. Wow. Among the first to try Cold Sweat was Justin Smith, 22, a woodworker. He went to the restroom and vomited after a spoonful. So there you go right there. That's brilliant right there. Ice cream with tastes like fire. Anyway, and then also today we had from Ottawa, Canada expands jail for nuisance polar bears. The town of Churchill in Canada's far north will expand its unique polar bear jail. to house more wayward carnivores and reduce the threat of bear attacks.
Brilliant!
There you go. The facility built in 1980 in the world's polar bear capital. Wow, that's something. And that's on the license plate. Will also be cooled now over the summer to make the furry inmates' incarceration a bit more bearable. Ha, ha, ha. Polar bears that wander into town in the... And the polar bears' capital will also be... polar bears that wander into town in summer or autumn are now captured. If they cannot be easily scared off. They are held in one of 23 cells divided by cinder blocks until the ice forms in nearby Hudson Bay and then released. Last year, 58 bears were housed in the Quonset jail. In 2004, 170 bears were kept behind bars, fed only water and ice to ensure they don't start coming here for the food. So the meager prison grub is not cruel and unusual. The bears typically feast on seals in winter and fast in the summer. So that's nice. And the next one is also from today, from Chicago, from WLS, world's largest store, named after Sears. Carjacking leads to crash on Magnificent Mile. An early morning carjacking ends with a crash along the Magnificent Mile. Witnesses say a white Cadillac Escalade was speeding and weaving in and out of traffic when it collided with a red compact sedan near Chestnut Street. Those of you who don't know, Chestnut Street is a very she-she part of downtown Chicago. That's where the former woman mayor of Chicago, Jane Byrne, lives. And a lot of penthouses and old money in Chicago lives on Chestnut Street. The driver of the SUV ended up on the sidewalk where he took out a light pole, a traffic control box, and a couple of trees. He stopped right in front of the entrance of a couple stores, Filene's Basement and Victoria's Secret. He must have been going there for the sales, I guess. The white Escalade was apparently carjacked at a gas station near Chicago and Wells. The suspect then drove the stolen SUV to the Rush and Division area. That's near Rush Street where all the bars are. And that's where police say he struck a pedestrian. That person was not seriously hurt, and the police are still looking for the suspect's accomplice. So there you go. And actually, the hotel here at the Aladdin, they're redoing it and turn it into the Planet Hollywood Hotel Casino. When they get done with it, their stores, right now they're called the Desert Passage. When they get done with the remodeling, the stores will be called the Magnificent Mile. So there you go right there. And also from today, from Lake Tahoe, Nevada, Tahoe bear swills booze with pizza snack. A bear cub drew a crowd of spectators at a Lake Tahoe neighborhood as it munched on barbecue chicken and jalapeno pizza in the backseat of a vintage red Buick convertible. It also apparently washed it down with a swig of Jack Daniel's mixer, an absolute vodka and tonic, and a beer taken from a cooler. Wow, this bear had a blast. About 30 people watched the cub lumber around in a parking lot in Upper Kingsbury Grade on Sunday before it honed in on the Buick and the spicy pizza on the floor. The Bruin was unfazed by the car's horn that blew nonstop as the cub pressed the seat into the steering wheel. The bear remained inside the 1964 Buick Skylark for about 20 minutes and at times put his paws on the dash as if it were holding on for a ride. The owner of the car said the Bruin didn't cause any damage but it slopped cheese and jalapenos on the seats and the floor. Oh, the manners of that damn bear, you know? I expect me to give him food, you know? I got at least some manners, you know? And also from today, this is from Daytona Beach, Florida. A beach cop runs over sunbather. David Hasselhoff from, Baywatch? A beach patrol officer who drove over a sunbather as she lay in the sand will be ticketed for careless driving and fined $115. This officer, 43 years old, drove his pickup truck diagonally across Danielle Taylor as she sunbathed Monday near the Main Street Pier. I think when he said he wanted to plow into her, he meant in another way, but I'm not sure. The Volusia County officer was driving at about 2.5 miles an hour. Wow. He must have been lead foot. According to the Florida Highway Patrol, Taylor, 20, of Fort Stewart, Georgia, was taken to Halifax Medical Center. Two of the tires... I wonder if she's got the marks. Two of the tires rolled over her shoulder and her hip. So, and also, this is fairly more common than we realize. Last August, a beach patrol officer drove over a 25-year-old woman who was sunbathing on a lounge chair causing cuts and bruises. Where the hell are these people watching when they're driving these trucks? And in February of 2003, a Miami Beach police officer searching for two robbery suspects drove over two sunbathing sisters in his marked police vehicle, killing one and critically injuring the other. Horrible. These idiots. The Keystone Cops. And it's also also from today, we had the... sounds like the General Lee there. Speaking of that, they're shooting the prequel to the Dukes of Hazzard. And because the movie did so well, I guess they decided to do a prequel to this. But the only one from the original movie what the hell is his name? Willie Nelson. So he'll be the only one that's in the movie.
Brilliant!
But it's direct to DVD only. So there he is. He's Rasko. Do the coot. And the veterans, they say the flag display at government building disrespectful from El Paso, Texas. Local veterans said the display at the Customs and Border Protection building on Viscount violates the United States Code, which states the U.S. flag should fly above all others. Veterans feel emotionally disturbed. What? it says veterans feel emotionally disturbed by the improper display of the flag. In a picture of the inside of the atrium of the Customs and Border Protection Building, the American flag appears to be in the wrong place. The rules and regulations for the American flag and found Title 4, Chapter 1, Section 7. Let me look that up, make sure that's right. Which states no other flag or pennant should be placed above it.
You are a meathead.
There you go. In a picture, you can clearly see state flags placed above the American flag. Oh, my God. Oh, the horrors. What angers the union president and veterans more is that the Homeland Security officials reportedly have been told about the mistake and have not done anything to correct it. Oh, it's careless, heartless bureaucrats in Washington, I'm telling you. They should know better than that, but I don't know. And also from today, from WGN in Chicago, which is the world's greatest newspaper, named after the Chicago Tribune, Candy Factory reopens. A candy factory in Chicago's west side that was shut down.
Wow!
Well, that was shut down last week has reopened. Inspectors closed the plant after they found mouse droppings and fruit flies inside the M&M Mars plant. A company spokesman said the plant resumed normal operations on Monday and says the work stoppage will not impact the quality of its products.
Laughable, man!
But do watch out for specially marked M&M's and Mars products with special M&M special ingredients packages. Now, I screwed that up. Damn it. Oh, well. The factory makes several kinds of candy, including Snickers and M&M's. So if you anyone stamps special or two for one at Walgreens, you know where those came from. Anyway. I was just kidding, so we avoid any kind of lawsuit from M&M Mars. And also from Monday, a man exposes himself to medical student. He's trying to get a free physical, I think. A conversation a local woman had with a stranger took a turn as the man dropped his pants. The woman says she was walking down Catherine Street in Ann Arbor on Sunday morning when she was approached by a man.
I have a feeling some bad stuff is about to go down.
The man struck up a conversation and asked the woman what she did as a living. When the woman told the man she was a medical student, he pulled down his pants and exposed himself and asked, "Is this okay?"
I have to deny your request.
The woman walked away laughing. No, she walked away while the man continued to follow her and ask her sexual questions.
What the shit is that?
I don't know. Wackos up there in Ann Arbor. And also from
one to get stoned.
Maybe that's part of the problem. He should get stoned. I don't know. And also from Monday, research thousands of children among victims as U.S. fireworks injuries rise.
Bad stuff is about to go down.
Backyard use of fireworks and related injuries are increasing nationwide. Uh-oh, there are fireworks. Fireworks in Iraq, I think. According to industry and the government data, and researchers say thousands of children each year among the victims. From 1990 to 2003, roughly 85,000 U.S. children under 19 were treated in emergency rooms for burns and other injuries from firecrackers, bottle rockets, and even sparklers. How the hell are you going to injure from a sparkler unless you eat it or something? I don't know. U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission, which last week released new figures showing an estimated 10,800 children and adults were treated for fireworks injuries last year. That was up from 9,600 in 2004, part of a steady increase in fireworks-related injuries since 1996. the commission said. Wow, that's unbelievable. Actually, when I was younger, my great aunt was my grandfather's sister. They're playing, like I said, in our family. For some reason, they all play in the cemeteries, but whatever. Anyway, they're shooting off firecrackers, whatever the hell it was. Anyway, one didn't go off. So my aunt, great aunt, put the damn thing in her mouth. Well, the thing went off and ended up blowing out most of her teeth. So I kept asking her. I remember him as Myrtle. She always had these black like stubs where her teeth were. I'm like, what the hell? And she had like two teeth on the bottom.
Laughable, man.
You are one pathetic loser.
Holy shit.
And I asked her, I remember everybody said, don't ever ask her what happened. And I saw, of course, as a kid, I asked her, oh, what happened to your mouth? Oh, when I was a kid, I put a firecracker in my mouth, and they thought it was a dud. And, of course, it wasn't a dud. A damn thing went off. I ended up blowing out most of her teeth. So, but anyway, I think that was it. Anyway, and saw that last year. It was gross. It was Kobayashi Maru.
Brilliant.
It was from Star Trek 2. What are you talking about? And what else do we have here? Chicago's O'Hare Airport, busiest in the United States this year. Chicago's O'Hare International Airport is at the top of a list of America's busiest airports. Last year's leader, Atlanta's Hartsfield-Jackson Airport, had the second most flights from January through June 30th. Uh-oh, is that the shuttle or is that the jet? Wow. And from January through June 30th, O'Hare registered 477,000 flights, down 1.3% from last year, but still enough to lead the list. A massive expansion plan is getting underway at O'Hare, which is scheduled to be completed in 2013, which is going to blow through this neighborhood, this little town called Bensonville, which is right at the edge of O'Hare. It's going to obliterate the airport. Now I understand they're fighting over a cemetery over there, moving a cemetery out of the way for a runway, so we'll see what happens if that gets through. Actually, O'Hare used to be called Orchard Field. That's why you fly and it says ORD. They still use the ORD, Orchard Field, for the initials of O'Hare Airport. So, and I never fly. When I go into Chicago, I never fly. I go to Midway because, of course, Midway is on the south side of Chicago, which is home of the White Sox. I never go up to the north side unless I have to under threat of death, I guess. I don't know. Anyway, and meanwhile, Atlanta registered 472,000 flights during the first 6 months of 06, down 5% from the same time last year. That kind of surprises me. I always thought Atlanta, with the better weather, would do a lot better than O'Hare because of the snow and everything and the bad weather that Chicago gets plagued with, but I guess not. And speaking of baseball, Sunday, this is from Wrigley Field in Chicago. Cub fans pelt field after Pierzynski home run. With the Cubs so close to winning, fans littered Wrigley Field with plastic bottles, cups, and other debris Saturday after A.J. Pierzynski hit a two-out ninth-inning homer to send the White Sox to an 8-6 victory. The game was delayed nearly 5 minutes as security and the grounds crew came out to pick up the litter. Most of it fell on the warning track in the outfield. That's because of the White Sox-Cub feud is a little more intense this year than before because of the brawl earlier in the year at the Cell. And those who don't know, to get something on the field at Wrigley Field from the outfield, you have to throw it pretty good range because these little baskets that reach out. You have to get over that onto the warning track at Wrigley. But what else? Cub center fielder Juan Pierre says, I guess they can voice their opinions however they want. And he also continues, they shouldn't throw anything on the field. It was sad. It was frustrating for us to lose a game and have the fans react like this. Much of the anger apparently was directed at Cubs closer Ryan Dempster, who retired the first two batters in the ninth with the Cubs leading 6-5. But two straight batters then reached base ahead of Pierzynski's homer. So the Cubs are 1-11 in the last 12 home games. The Cubs have lost two straight and 4 out of 5 to the White Sox this season, which is, to them, it's akin to having their arms cut off, losing to the White Sox. So, but oh well. And Monday, we had Judge bars Navy sonar use in Hawaii war games. A federal judge issued a temporary restraining order Monday, barring the Navy from using a type of sonar allegedly harmful to marine animals during a Pacific warfare exercise scheduled to begin this week. Environmental groups had sued to stop the sonar use during the exercises off Hawaii. The sonar portion of the war games was set to start Thursday. The judge in her order said that the plaintiffs have shown possibility that RIMPAC 2006 will kill, injure, and disturb many marine species, including marine mammals, in waters surrounding the Hawaiian Islands. So, you know, got to protect Flipper at all costs, you know. And also from, where are we here? From Monday, suspect arrested in a 100-acre North County fire from San Diego. Authorities Friday arrested a man suspected of setting a 100-acre wildfire that blackened brushy hillsides and ravines near Escondido. Garrett Gifford, I wonder if he's related to Frank Gifford or Kathy Lee, surrendered at a Valley Center Sheriff's substation. Witnesses had reported seeing the Puma Valley resident near the fire's point of origin off of Old Castle Road and Champaign Boulevard. They took him into custody. He was booked on suspicion of arson. There was no structural damage, but then there's some 300 personnel from several agencies worked the lines, equipped with four air tankers, four helicopters, and 45 engines and two bulldozers. So they gotta make that guy pay for all that stuff. I mean, this is ridiculous. You hear these stories all the time that these idiots start these brush fires so they can get jobs, or they're mad. I remember one story about some fire in California that this guy was dragging this metal pipe behind his car and it was sparking, starting all these fires. I'm like, what the hell? So anyway, that woman set the fire. Where was that at? In Grand Canyon or somewhere? She set fire because of a jilted lover. Remember that? Remember that story a few years back? It was like, what the hell? These people out of their minds? Oh, I got jilted. I'll just set the whole damn forest on fire. To hell with the animals. To hell with the environment, you know. Also, this is also from Sunday. Dead dogs found in desert. This is from Tucson, Arizona. An arrest in a case of animal cruelty. Marana police say Curtis Matthew was charged in connection with three dogs found dead 2 weeks ago near Cortera and Hartman on the northwest side of Tucson. At least one dog was stuffed into a plastic container and another was in a plastic bag. And investigators say the dogs died to a lack of water. What about suffocation? Matthew faces three counts of animal cruelty or neglect. What a jackass. You know, they shove him into a plastic bag and see how long he'll last, you know. And where else? And also from Sunday, an endangered tradition. This is from Portland, Maine. One York County town is calling off its annual fireworks display because of a bird. The endangered piping plover is nesting near the beach in this town, Ogunquit, I guess it's called. The Department of Environmental Protection believes any fireworks display would disturb the nests. For the second year, the town is having to cancel this 25-year tradition. The Ogunquit Chamber of Commerce could still have the pyrotechnic show if it had $42,000 to spare. That's what it would cost to have a DEP-required officer stationed at the nests to make sure no one gets on the beach and for the fireworks to be set off from a barge. So that seems small money for a town to come up with, but I guess not there in Portland, Maine. And also from Sunday, from Nome, Alaska, FBI sees no serial killer, cites drinking and exposure. The FBI says the disappearance of 24 people in Nome was not the work of a serial killer. Instead, the FBI's analysis concludes excessive alcohol consumption and a harsh winter climate were common ties in many of the cases. In nine of the cases where no bodies were found, state and local investigators Thursday said they will continue the search for new leads. They better check those bears, polar bears and everything. They probably ate them. A list of victims' names in 20 cases was released by local officials last year. An effort to blah, blah, blah. The Nome police chief says of the 24 cases, three are being left alone at the request of families. I don't know. How the hell would they want? Why do they want them left alone? I think the families want some answers. But two had already been prosecuted criminally, and one was a snow machine accident. The police chief, Craig Moats, says in nine of the cases, a reexamination of evidence produced definitive outcomes, and they said alcohol was a common factor in those cases. Some of the dead are known to have died of exposure or from falling off a jetty into the Snake River. So, yeah. I hear about that a lot of time up there. People disappear and everything else. They wonder what happened. I think there's bears up there, aren't there? This is also from Sunday from Hanoi, Vietnam. Docs remove 119 nails from woman's stomach. Physicians removed 119 nails, many of them rusty. No kidding. From a woman's stomach months after she apparently swallowed
them. Holy cow!
What was this dingling doing swallowing nails to begin with? I guess she needed her vitamins and minerals, I guess. It's a cheap way of doing it, swallowing some nails.
You are a meathead.
You are one pathetic loser.
The 43-year-old woman arrived Wednesday at hospital number 121. I guess they don't name their hospitals over in Vietnam. There you go. and in the southern city of Kantho City, complaining of severe stomach ache. No kidding. After having her stomach x-rayed and scanned, we found a stack of strange objects and decided to operate as soon as possible. And during the surgery, the doctors removed 119 nails, each about 3 inches long.
You are a bitch!
How the hell do you eat all those, put all those in your stomach? I don't know. Many were rusty, indicating they had been in her stomach for months. The woman's stomach was scratched by nails, but she did not suffer any major injuries. Except she's a mental case, I guess, or some reason she likes eating nails. Anyway, and the next one's from, where are we at here? Where are my dates here? It's Sunday. Crash kills couple on way to their wedding. They were driving from Colorado to Arizona for a July 8th ceremony. Horrible. From Wagon Mound, New Mexico. Where's the Wagon Mound, I wonder? Obviously, it's New Mexico, but where, I wonder? A former Colorado State University runner and her fiancé died in a crash on Interstate 25 days before their wedding. State police said 21-year-old Valerie McGregor and 23-year-old Samuel Zawada were in a 2003 Tacoma pickup that rolled off Interstate 25 near Wagon Mound in northeastern New Mexico. Two were on their way to McGregor's home in Tucson, where they planned to wed July 8th, according to their college, Colorado State University. McGregor, who was driving, died at the scene. Zawada was flown to St. Vincent's Hospital in Santa Fe, where he died. Both wearing seatbelts, and alcohol was not involved. Horrible. What a way to go. It's terrible. At least, in some ways, it's good they went together, because they'd be living with that the rest of their lives, probably. Girls rescued from fast-moving Sohegan River. Teenager survives being swept down Wildcat Falls. This is from Sunday from Merrimack, New Hampshire. A 16-year-old girl was rescued with minor injuries from the Sohegan River on Thursday after she was swept down Wildcat Falls. Firefighters said that the rapids and the rain-swollen river were severe and that there are several large boulders in the waterway. Wildcat Falls has a steep drop at the beginning and continues for about 60 feet. Wow, she's lucky she survived that thing. No kidding. She did receive quite a few bumps and bruises and scrapes and so forth, but she's actually very fortunate. Good, no kidding. A witness was able to coax her out of the water, and she had only had minor injuries to her arms, legs, and back, and she refused medical attention. Interesting. And Sunday from Charlotte, North Carolina, a thief steals funeral home's only hearse. A local funeral home that just opened its doors a few months ago was out its company vehicle on Sunday. Police say 31-year-old Damon Gwynn stole the only hearse from the Rosedale Funeral Home in Albemarle Road Sunday morning. The officers found it crashed later off Bellhaven Road in West Charlotte. Funeral home co-owner Tito Truesdale. What kind of name is that? Tito. Tito Truesdale said he doesn't know why anyone would want to take it, but it will hurt business. And he says, you never know when a funeral home needs its hearse. No kidding. Damon Gwynn was behind bars Sunday night, charged with stealing the hearse, hit and run, and driving with a revoked license. So driving a hearse. Hey, it's an interesting story. It brings you up this guy who runs these haunted houses here in Las Vegas. For Halloween, he sets up all these places. He drives around his hearse, his old Cadillac hearse, all over town. I see him once in a while. It's amazing. That car's still going after all these years. It's been at least 10 years, but he's doing quite well. He has all these haunted houses all over town. He does pretty good well here. Let's see. What's going on in the chat room here? Stealing our picnic baskets. What is this? Number one threat to America is bears, according to Stephen Colbert. Yeah, he's pretty funny. What else? Being cop has advantages. Silent God is in the chat room. Wow. Is that Dirk Benedict in the chat room? I don't know. Let's see. A man in hospital after crashing. Now, they go from a hearse being stoned to a horse story. So, a hearse and horse. A man in hospital after crashing into a horse. It's from Oklahoma City. A man is in a area hospital after crashing into and killing a horse in southeast Oklahoma City on Friday. Police said the animal was standing in the middle of Hawassi Road on Southeast 104th Street. The horse hit the windshield. Well, the car had to get hit to hit it first, I guess. The donkey. The horse hit the windshield and ripped the roof of the car open. Holy cow. Poor horse. The investigators said they did not know who owned the horse, maybe because it was a wild horse, for crying out loud, you know? Oh, Wilbur. Remember that, Mr. Ed? Sister, a few years ago, she ran into in Chicago, where she lives out in the suburbs, there's a lot of deer out there. She actually ran into a damn deer out there a few years ago, and she wrecked the car, and the damn deer ended up going through the windshield. Those things are deadly, you know. And then years ago, I remember I have a father and my uncle said the same. They're going on some kind of fishing trip, and they end up plowing into another deer, and then my uncle wound up throwing the back of the station wagon. Where else? This is from Saturday. Nurse's assistant jailed over sexual assault accusations from Marion County, Florida. A nurse's assistant was jailed after an elderly patient said he sexually assaulted her. This is a pervert, huh? Julio Cardona, 43, reportedly touched an 83-year-old woman.
You sick son of a bitch! You just made your twisted bastard running hell and die! You son of a bitch, you bastard!
He touched an 83-year-old woman inappropriately while he was working for a Marion County healthcare facility. Detectives found out that Cardona had the same allegations against him at a different job in the past.
This is where you pucker up and kiss my ass.
Maybe he was trying to help her put his arm around her waist, but at that age, everything's so low, dropped so low. Maybe she thought he was touching her, he was touching her breasts or something like that. I don't know. There you go. And what else? It reminds me of that story in the 2020 did years ago, the investigative thing about the nursing homes and how these people were beating the hell out of the old people in the nursing home. They showed one guy, some worker, he kicked the wheelchair, and the old guy popped up out of the wheelchair, and he punched him, and then flying him into the hospital bed. It was like, holy Christ, he hit him. I guess the old guy had just pissed in the bed or pissed on it, whatever. I can't remember the whole story, but it was on 2020, and the guy pushed down on the legs of the wheelchair, and the old guy popped up, and the guy knocked him, punched him into the hospital bed. It was horrible. And the next one is from Saturday from San Francisco. Poaching sting nets 17 throughout Northern California. Two Mendocino County men are among 17 who were arrested for allegedly poaching abalone and sturgeon and selling the seafood delicacies to San Francisco restaurants, according to state officials. Yeah, I can't believe they're going to these lengths to get food for these restaurants. The Department of Fish and Game and the Attorney General's Office reported 20 alleged poachers were targeted for arrest in one of the most extensive sturgeon and abalone busts in California history. Wow, that's pretty incredible. There are three separate operations: Operation Dos Robles along the Mendocino coast, Operation Mahalo along the Sonoma and Mendocino coasts, and Operation Delta Beluga 3. Oh, man. Regarding catching sturgeon from the Sacramento River, the Department of Fish and Game reported that 7 search warrants were served, and the investigation was conducted by 29 teams of wardens deployed to the Sacramento, Oakland, and San Francisco, Hayward, Fort Bragg, and Mission Viejo areas. Good Lord, this is like a huge operation. They involved 85 sworn officers. How come that's why all the crime rates shot through the roof during all this? Because everybody's busy trying to catch these people selling sturgeon and abalone to these San Francisco restaurants, you know? Terrible. And then Saturday from Kansas City, Missouri, insulin pump stolen from diabetic girl. A life-changing medical device was stolen from a 9-year-old girl with diabetes on Friday. And
you are one pathetic loser.
And what else is this? Jackasses of America Unite. And where am I? I'm sorry. Akira Sullivan was recently fitted with an insulin pump, which looks similar to an iPod. But costs thousands of dollars more. Sullivan said without the pump, she faces about 8 insulin shots a day. Kira says things were going well until someone apparently swiped the pump while she was at a local park. The girl said she had disconnected it so she could play with her brothers and sisters. So I guess she wanted the monkey bars for a while. I'm surprised this park even has monkey bars. Didn't they ban all these things? Because from these parks, everybody's getting hurt and suing them. The family thinks that after she got done with the monkey bars, while she was on the monkey bars, a thief mistook the pump for an iPod. So the pump costs $7,000, and she won't be able to get a new one for a long time. Let's see. Our insurance will not cover a new pump for 4 years. We are out for at least 4 years unless someone returns it at some point.
Huh. You a duck or stupid.
Yeah, I wonder what kind of insurance company is that. They got to wait 4 years now to get the money to get in their insulin pump? That seems a little odd. You know, wonder if their insurance company is Auto Insurance America. You know, I don't know. And also Friday, it's a local. They do these cheap commercials with these gold insurance. Oh, I'm number one in the yellow page. You ever see those commercials? They're horrible. But anyway, I wouldn't mind them sponsoring anything. But anyway, Kernville residents refuse to pay annual fee to help cemetery. This is from Friday from Bakersfield, California. Residents of Kernville say they don't want to pay an extra $8 a year to get water to the Kern River Valley Cemetery. The votes were tallied Wednesday night to see if the property owners would be willing to pay $7.70 fee per year to help the historic cemetery. But a majority of residents said no. Oh, yeah, they said the hell with that cemetery. You know, they're dead already. Why not let the grass die, right? I don't know. The cemetery has gone through a lot of problems with the water in recent years after the government said the original source of water contained arsenic and then someone stole a water pump and pipes, and the pipes cost too much. What the hell? There must be some backwater area in Bakersfield or something. I don't know. One family took sod from their own lawn and planted it on a loved one's grave and shows up every day to water it. The grass in the cemetery is almost non-existent. The manager of the cemetery says he's sad that the community won't help. The cemetery hopes people may be willing to donate money and equipment, like a 12,000-watt generator, to help keep the cemetery beautiful. Yeah, I don't know about that. I mean, it's strange. They won't come up with the money to water a cemetery. That's ridiculous. But anyway, and also from Saturday, mysterious billboards baffle local residents from Cleveland, Ohio. Many people are wondering about the billboards they've been seeing around Cleveland.
Could we get rid of all the Mexicans?
How does it say that? I don't know. All which have crazy. Actually, the billboard here, the most famous billboard in Las Vegas, was the billboard saying end to immigration. Remember, that billboard is now gone. So,
could we get rid of all the Mexicans?
Surprise. There's a big to-do
it's
here.
It's time to abort your whole friggin' species.
Could we get rid of all the Mexicans?
It's called the National Network or something, whatever it was. And then they had a billboard that was up, and all the Hispanic groups were up in arms that they all got to get rid of this billboard. Anyway, the billboard stayed up, and all of a sudden now it's gone. Now it's covered up with some billboard for, I don't know.
Could we get rid of all the Mexicans?
I think it's covered up with a Beatles Love billboard or something now. So, and anyway, this billboards are talking about Cleveland. Let's see. Is a campaign, the case of the mysterious billboards is solved. They're all part of a national campaign by the Cartoon Network. And the billboards certainly catch people's attention, especially that of children. The Cartoon Network watchers know exactly what those phrases, crazy sayings mean, such as shiny, shiny, pretty, pretty on the West 25th Street and Denison Avenue billboard. That phrase is from a show called My Gym Partner's a Monkey. What the hell kind of a show is that? My Gym Partner's a Monkey. I don't know. So that's a phrase from that show. And then the sign that says Clowns Don't Like Tangelos at Interstate 480 and 71 is from Billy and Mandy. Whatever. Cartoon watcher Jackie explained the meaning of that one. Billy's terrified by clowns, so he does wherever he can to get away from them. So he buys a couple of Tangelos because he thinks clowns don't like Tangelos. What the hell? What is it? What's going on that network? This is like lunatics running it, huh? A cartoon watcher, Rachel, said the sign at Interstate 90 and East 185th Street that reads, "Look, I have a meat beard," was prompted by Camp Lazlo. Whatever. Clear Channel Outdoors, Mike Matonis said the signs are all part of a tease campaign by the Cartoon Network. A tease campaign is where an advertiser has a billboard up and changes that billboard to payoff message, to the payoff message after a period of time. So, wow. I don't know. At least that's keep the economy going with these crazy billboards, I guess. Also, this is also from Saturday. A woman faces animal cruelty charges from Gwinnett County, Georgia. Investigators say they have seized approximately 100 animals from a Buford home. Animal Control says they received a complaint of possible animal cruelty at the home and they began to investigate. Officials say the state health department also had to exist because of the deplorable conditions of the home. Investigators say that the odor could be smelled from the street. Ugh, it's bad. And many investigators used respirators to enter the house. My God. Officials seized approximately 17 dogs. three cats, and 21 birds, and partridge in a pear tree. Now, individual aquariums that held 50 mice were also seized. Dora L. Russell, 43, has been arrested and charged with one misdemeanor count of cruelty to animals. And Russell was arrested for the same offense in 2002. In that case, approximately 200 animals were removed from her house. The county animal control has issued her 93 citations on that past offense. What in the world is going on with these people? All these animals. The one here in Vegas, all these 50 cats in their house or something? Crazy. And also from Friday, we had armed teen girls use MySpace to set up... Uh-oh, there's the cats. armed teen girls use MySpace to set up robbery of man. Oh. A North Florida man claims he was just looking for some fun while visiting a popular website, MySpace. Getting robbed wasn't what he had in mind. The Jacksonville man planned on meeting in person with a girl. How old was this man? I wonder. One of these perverts lurking on MySpace. The Jacksonville man planned on meeting in person with a girl he met on MySpace.com while at the apartment where the two decided to meet. He was instead approached by a 14-year-old and 15-year-old girl. She took the gun and put it to my head and says, "Empty out your pockets." Like Bonnie and Clyde there. Or Thelma and Louise, I guess. The girls didn't get much since the victim forgot his wallet. They let him go unharmed. Police searched the area and found the two teens with another male suspect. In the teens' purses, police found two loaded handguns. How'd they get those guns? You know, who'd they steal them from? Right? They took them from their parents. I don't know. That was amazing. And I noticed that Fox was trumping up that story about how this woman found her daughter after whatever it was, 15 years, whatever it was. And it, you know, and the woman says that she was looking for her daughter all these years and took 20 minutes of looking on MySpace to find her daughter. But it's funny, it's the first time they actually admitted on Fox that I've seen on Fox News that they owned MySpace.com. They all said, "Oh, MySpace.com is owned by the parent network of the Fox News Channel." Usually they don't mention it because it's always the bad stories about MySpace that they make it to the air. So, and also, what else we had here? Investigation into historic church fires underway Friday from Missouri City, Texas. A church founded by former slaves caught fire on Friday, and the blaze may have been intentionally set. St. John Baptist Church located in off of Oilfield Road in Missouri City, suffered heavy damage to the back, and when the blaze broke out about 2:20 in the morning, the church was established in 1869 and was first known as a colored school before desegregation. The pastor of the church says he believes the church fire was not an accident. There have been fires all over the area, all over the South, so since the last year and a half. So... terrible. Imagine the church in Chicago got burned down as a historic church there as well. And also from Friday, a helicopter filming movie crashes in Iowa from Walford, Iowa. A helicopter being used to film scenes for a movie. Oh, here it comes. It's being used to film scenes for a movie crashed in eastern Iowa on Friday, killing one person and critically injuring two others. The helicopter crashed just before 1 in the afternoon. Uh-oh. Is that the crash? And the Gazette reported on its website that the helicopter was filming a parade for the movie The Final Season about a high school baseball team. Witnesses said the helicopter was carrying the pilot, a producer, and a photographer when it hit power lines and crashed into a field about 10 miles southwest of Cedar Rapids. The Final Season, of course, enough about this crash, now I talk about the movie. The Final Season is based on the real-life story of the 1991 Norway High School baseball team. It stars Sean Astin and Powers Booth and is being directed by David Mickey Evans, and also who also directed the Sandlot as well. So that's nice to know. Yeah. And I hope they'll make that into a series like they're making that Friday's, what the hell is that name of that, Friday Night Lights or something like that, and turn it into a series now. So, and also from Friday from San Antonio, Texas, two new cases of Legionnaire's disease is reported. The Metropolitan Health District confirmed on Wednesday that one person has died from a case of Legionnaire's disease. Another case was also reported, and neither was required. Another case was also reported, and neither was acquired in a hospital. I don't know. You can catch Legionnaire's disease in the hospital. A 70-year-old Southside woman who also had a pre-existing condition died from the disease. The second case involved a 40-year-old Medina County man who will likely be released from a hospital in the next couple of days. This year has been abnormal for the spread of the disease, health district officials told the news reporter. There have been 15 reported cases in 2006 and 5 resulting in deaths. The most recent cases are not connected with the 8 cases reported in North Central Baptist Hospital. Whoa, what's going on in the hospital? Which has since made changes to its hot water system and the apparent cause of the disease. Yeah, it's nice. Going to hospital is one thing, and you get Legionnaires' disease. Unbelievable. And no chatting tonight. What is this? Chat room. Silent God is in there. So, and also we had this from Thursday. Jury judges former judge, guilty of an indecent exposure from Bristow, Oklahoma. A jury in Oklahoma has convicted a former judge of exposing himself by using a sexual device behind the bench.
You sick son of a bitch! You just said you're twisted bastard fucking hell of God! You son of a bitch, you bastard!
He's using a sexual device behind the bench while presiding over court cases.
Look, it's all about context. Yeah. Well, for example, recently I have come out and admitted that I was a homosexual.
Really?
I'm gay. That means that now I can say the word fag.
Good.
Could we?
Thank you. What the hell is his name? Steve Freese. Thank you. The Creek County jury found Donald Thompson guilty on 4 counts of indecent exposure and recommended 1 year in prison and a $10,000 fine on each count. The investigation into Thompson's actions began after a police officer saw a device known as a penis pump in the judge's courtroom.
I like penis.
Oh, man. The charges involved 4 separate jury trials in 2002 and 2003.
I like penis.
Obviously.
He's a fag.
The Thompson's former court reporter testified that she traced an unfamiliar sound in the courtroom to her boss. She testified that she saw Thompson expose himself at least 15 times. Unbelievable. But get a little list. It gets even better. Thompson denied using the device and said it was a... It says it was a gag gift. Whatever. Oh, man. Chinese, and this next one is from Ketchikan, Alaska.
You are one pathetic loser.
Chinese firm will build new Ketchikan shipyard dry dock. A new 2,500-ton floating dry dock will be built by a Chinese firm for the Ketchikan shipyard. The Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority executed the $9 million contract with the firm, the Chinese firm, which is Penglai Boghai Ship Company, on Thursday. The dry dock is expected to be delivered by the end of July 2007. The deal ended a year-long effort to obtain a dry dock for the Ketchikan shipyard. 3 rounds of bidding attracted only 1 North American bidder, and that was from Vancouver, British Columbia. The Chinese firm was the only bidder that had submitted a bid low enough to keep within the budget projected budget of the project. So that's amazing. That's because we have no laborers here in the United States. Everything's farmed out to India and everything. No wonder. And also we have this from Thursday. Man calls 911 to report being cut in two. This is from Cleburne, Texas. A rail yard worker who had lost his legs.
Holy cow!
Kind of sickening, or I guess gross is the name for it. A rail yard worker who lost his legs when a train ran over him. Used a cell phone to report he was trapped and had been cut in two. Truman Duncan remained in critical condition Wednesday at a Fort Worth hospital after the Sunday accident at the Gunderson Southwest Rail Yard in Cleburne, about 50 miles southwest of Dallas. In a tape of the 911 call, the Duncan tells the reporter he was run over by a rail car. He says on the call he needs 911. I think I'm cut in two. And he said someone got run over. He said it was himself. I guess I'm going into shock. And he's about to pass out. It took rescue workers about an hour to find Duncan and extricate him from the tracks. One leg was caught between a steel wheel and brake, and the other leg was caught on some wheel and axle parts.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Does that suck?
Yeah. The police said the 36-year-old man and a coworker were attempting to connect rail cars, and the accident occurred. So, man, that's dangerous there. Horrible. It was a penis pump, Sean. What did I say? Did I say refer to the penis pump as something else? No, I'm reading the story. It says about this judge. Wait a minute here. What does it say here? Using a sexual device. Is a penis pump. As I said, an investigation into Thompson's actions began after a police officer saw a device known as a penis pump in the judge's courtroom. Yeah, I said penis pump. So anyway, man attacked in water off Miami Beach, but not by a shark, but by a dog. Not a dog getting in the water. I don't know. Miami Beach, Florida. Floridians and visitors are often a bit. I think the dog was in the water. I don't know. Floridians and visitors are often a bit nervous about being attacked by sharp-toothed predators while swimming in the ocean. But Tuesday, a man needed medical care after a very bizarre attack, I'd say so. The man was swimming off Miami Beach Tuesday morning near 4th Street and Ocean Drive, very shishy area, when he says a pit bull charged into the water and bit him. After the attack, the man said the dog and his owner took off. Miami Beach fire rescue workers treated the man at the beach and is expected to be okay. The dog and its owner were nowhere to be found. Pit bulls are illegal in Miami-Dade County. An owner can face a $500 fine and have the dog confiscated. Jeez. So, oh well. And also Thursday, firefighters accused of raping woman in Hard Rock men's room. I guess something else was hard, not just Hard Rock. The two firefighters pleaded not guilty Monday to charges that they raped a woman in a public restroom. The Margate fire chief confirmed that the firefighters had been placed on administrative leave pending the outcome of an investigation into the rape allegation. The two firefighters were accused of assaulting a woman on May 2nd at the Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino. The men were off duty at the time of the alleged assault. The woman said that the firefighters forced her into a men's room and is near the public pool. She said that they held on, one of them held on to her while the other raped her. Investigators said the woman had been drinking with the men at the Hooters restaurant at the Hard Rock prior to the alleged incident. I don't know. We'll see what happens with that one. And then also on Thursday, we had kids locked in. There's an air story. These kids get locked in these cars. Kids locked in hot car rescued with OnStar feature. This is from Denver. Firefighters were able to rescue two children who were accidentally locked in a hot vehicle by using the car's OnStar feature. A mother accidentally, of course, locked her infant and toddler in a car in Greeley at Island Grove Park. When firefighters arrived, the mother of the two children was frantic and wanted the firefighters to break the window. One of the firefighters asked if the vehicle is equipped with OnStar. It turns out the car did have the feature, and the firefighters phoned the company and blah, blah, because we all know the commercials, and they unlocked the car so the firefighters can access the two children without damaging the vehicle. So I wonder if we'll hear that in one of those commercials pretty soon or not. We'll find out. And what's a woman locking her kids? What happened to the keys? She must have locked them in the car with the kids? I don't know. Probably. And also from Wednesday, we had the season's first case of West Nile virus found from Needham, Massachusetts. State health officials said they have discovered this season's first case of West Nile virus in mosquitoes in Needham. No human cases were reported. The reporter reported state workers trap mosquitoes about this time every year and testing to see if they find insects with either West Nile or East Equine encephalitis. Ooh, wow. And it's like that kissing bug. Now I saw it, right? Of course, after I talk about it, and I heard about it saw it on CNN about that kissing bug from last week. You know, it's just amazing. It's like, what is it? Tail whack the dog? Whatever the hell it is. I don't know. And we're talking about rainfall on the East Coast, and then the record rainfall in the Bay State in May and June created a perfect breeding grounds for mosquitoes. And also before we take a break, we have from Wednesday from Venetia, Pennsylvania. People in that area want answers about missing packages. People in Venetia are still looking for answers, but the firing of a local postal worker. Some people are claiming that several of their packages were found in the carrier's garbage. A U.S. post office letter carrier was caught failing to deliver letter mail, but apparently keeping packages of great value. Was caught failing to deliver. Packages of great value. Huh. The goods never arrived at homes all over Venetia since last March. What the hell? March, April, May, June. That's 4 or 5 months. And some people are claiming that... I'm going to take a break after this. Some people are claimed that they got empty boxes back from the post office, proving their goods were stolen. postal workers refused to give Channel 11 any details. That happened in Chicago a few years ago, too, that they heard stories. These fire workers were throwing the mail into these oil barrels down under street down there, Wells, and then setting them on fire to keep themselves warm. They found all this mail down there. So, anyway, I think with that, we'll take our break in the second hour. We'll be joined by Michelle from Hangar Deck number 5, hangardeck5.com. And once again, happy 4th of July. I'm Sean O'Mac, Sean Daly, and we'll be right back. Thank you.
Yes! conscience of conscience of folks flying.
Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, Abu Zubaydah, Ramzi Al-Sheib, or whatever the guy's name was.
Originating from Las Vegas, Nevada, you're listening to LV Rocks. Noise from Vegas.
And we are back for the second hour of Subject to Discussion live at LVRocks.com. And Michelle did call in, so we're waiting for her to call back in just a moment or so. And we'll be talking about the Golden Toaster Awards that were held the other day. And I understand there was a special appearance by Ron and Mrs. Moore. So it'll be interesting to hear how that turned out and everything else. And I have a slow connection at home, and I was like four pages behind everybody when they were going through awards and everything. So and then at the end of the time with Michelle, we'll be joined by Koenig Rules, and we'll be talking about the Superman Returns. You know, he went to see it, and he'll give us a review of Superman Returns, and also he has some Doctor Who news. And also I have the actually Aaron Douglas is going to be coming to Las Vegas a week from whatever the hell day it is. I think it's the 15th and the 16th. He's going to be doing the big sci-fi convention over at the Las Vegas Convention Center. And a lot of the big wigs from sci-fi are going to be there. You'll have Kevin Sorbo is going to be there. Gil Gerard from Buck Rogers. Erin Gray, she'll be there as well. Felix Sliwa will be there as well, and everything else. So it'll be good to see all of them together. And then I was wondering, how come I think I mentioned this already, but I'll mention it again because a lot of you don't know about this. But I mentioned how come nobody from I talked to Aaron Douglas on email, and I said, how come nobody from Battlestar Galactica isn't on this thing? And he goes, I don't know. He was asked, I guess. So I got a hold of the people who are running this thing. And I said, how come you got all these other people from these old shows and everything? How come Battlestar Galactica isn't represented? And then, they told me, well, they asked, but they were told that he was busy or something. Anyway, it ended up being a miscommunication. So anyway, they booked Aaron Douglas for this. So I thought that's pretty cool. So it's I believe it's the 15th and the 16th. They'll be in town for that. And several people from Andromeda and all this stuff will be there, so it'll be nice. So I think now we'll be joined in a moment by Michelle from Hangar Deck 5. We got some special music for her, and wait for the Centurion. Thank you. There you go. Michelle, are you with us?
I am.
Ah, sorry for the long. I like that music though. So let it play out a little bit. That was the theme from Final Cut, the last scene in Final Cut, from the second season CD.
Fabulous! What a great introduction.
Yeah. It's nice. Nice little. They did a remix of it with Bear McCreary, so that was very nice. So anyway, we welcome you to the program.
Thank you. It's really nice to be here.
No problem. Now, we have a lot of listeners out there who are not familiar with Hangar Deck 5. Give them a little nutshell. What's Hangar Deck 5?
Essentially, we're just a fan forum, a bunch of goofy people hanging out talking about Battlestar Galactica and whatever else we can think of to talk about. It's a really cool forum. We have a lot of fan artists, fanfic writers, people who just enjoy talking about the show and really appreciate everything that the show has given us so far.
Really? And now, how long has the site been around?
We've been around since January. The forum itself has been around since November. It started as a very unsuccessful fanfic forum.
Mm-hmm.
And then another forum a bunch of us belonged to kind of went belly up, so we all kind of migrated over to Hangar Deck 5 and started it up from there.
Really? Now, Hangar Deck 5, where does that get the name from?
We actually had a contest to name the forum. We went for, I think, a month without having any kind of name at all. But we kind of were appreciating the mechanics on Battlestar Galactica and the people behind the scenes who sort of keep things running, not anybody in any sort of position of power, just the everyday kind of folk.
Oh, well, that's cool. That's cool. What were some of the other names that are batting around?
We were going to be Prometheus Underground for a while, which I thought was kind of cool.
Yeah.
Lots of names were batted around. Battlestar Galactica fan group. Hangar Deck 5 kind of ran away with it, though. Once that name was suggested, we all were like, well, you know what? That sounds just about right. So, and that ended up winning a vote that we gave to all of the members.
Well, that's good. I'm waiting for a site to come out that says Casino Planet. Now, I'll know I'll know that the series is over or something comes out with that. So, but anyway, well, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much.
Now, you've been watching the series since it started as a miniseries, or?
Actually, I came into it kind of late. My husband was a fan since the beginning. In fact, since he had heard about it, he was all kinds of excited about it. And I was like, oh, all right, Battlestar Galactica. Okay, right on, baby. And but then when he started watching the series, I started paying attention towards the end of season one, and I got hooked right from there, and went back and watched all the previous episodes, and I was a total complete fangirl this season.
Wow! So now, did you go back and watch all the? Did you go back and watch all the other previous episodes, or?
Oh yeah. I jumped in with both feet. I think I've seen all the episodes at least three times by now.
Wow! Yeah. Now, do you have the season two CD already?
No, I do not. It is on my list of things to get very soon, though.
No, near to, now, where are you calling from?
Indianapolis.
Ah, very good. Very good, very good. And, I was telling Khan, and when Koenig is on, I tell him that we're, like, out here in Vegas, it's like flyover country. We get everything, like, you know, last. You know, we get the companion. I just saw that a couple months ago. You know, I mean, why am I going to buy it now? Everything in there is old. You know what I mean?
Right.
And then the CD, the season one CD, came out, you know, months after the rest of the country. You know, I just happened to basically trip over it at the Borders bookshop. You know, it's amazing.
Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah. So anyway, last week you guys did the Golden Toaster Awards. This is the second annual, right?
Correct.
Yeah. Now I noticed the last year it was nice. I didn't know. Yeah. I do all this. I'm trying to keep up what's going on in all the fandom and everything. Now I didn't know you guys did it last year either.
Wow. Actually, last year is when it all started. A guy named Caravaggio from the Skiffy Boards got an idea to hold some awards from the fans for the show. And he put the first show together, actually, almost single-handedly. Originally, that was going to be hosted at the Skiffy Boards, but there were some hacking problems and some other sort of issues going on. So it ended up migrating to another forum where it was held last year. And it was really successful. A lot of people got excited about it. A lot of people participated last year. And so we wanted to make sure to continue that tradition for season two. And most of the people that had been behind the planning of it for last year's show were also members and pretty active at Hangar Deck 5. So we figured since we had most of the minds that knew what they were talking about there, we could go ahead and jump on and take care of it at Hangar Deck 5.
Very cool, very cool. And then now, the award ceremony the other night, how many people were on the boards during that? It was a lot, right?
Yeah, at the top, I think we had 118 people watching.
Wow, that's incredible. Congratulations, that's unbelievable.
You know? Yeah, thank you. We were really, really excited. Behind the scenes, we were all squeeing and jumping up and down and acting like crazy people when we saw how many people were watching.
Yeah, I mean, also, they had a special appearance by Mr. and Mrs. Moore, right?
That was so awesome.
Yeah, they're really, it's unbelievable. I'm not an up in a Golden Toaster's Awards. I'm sorry, you just have to help me along here. Now, did they present an award?
They did, actually. Mr. Moore presented two awards, or he wrote the speeches, and Mrs. Moore presented one award. They were both planning on being there live and in person through the whole show, but some connection problems kept them from actually being live at the start. Mrs. Ron was able to finally log on a little bit later. And so, but because of the problems, they asked us to go ahead and post their speeches for them. But they did both participate in writing the speech and present three total awards.
Wow! Congratulations. That had to be nice. A nice little, cherry on the shake there. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. That was, and it, we were just excited that they even knew that the awards existed, really. And the fact that they wanted to participate and they were such supporters of it was just extra very cool.
Yeah. They turn up in some places where you least expect it. I know they've been in the chat room here a few times and stuff like that. So it's nice to know that they're keeping on top of what the fans are doing.
That's very, very awesome. Yeah. That's one of the things I appreciate most about this show is how much attention the Moors both give the fans and how much they appreciate our input and our opinions.
Yeah, and actually, Morovian was saying that Mrs. Moore was ill. Yeah, she's got a fever or something like that. Is that right?
Yeah. She came to the awards sick from having a nasty cold, she said.
Wow. And let's see. And he was saying that they were reading through the whole time. So that's nice. That's nice. They took time actually to stop in and get involved in it, too.
That was awesome. That really made all of the work that went into it worthwhile.
Yeah, very, very cool. Very cool. You guys must have jumped when you saw her also on the board, huh?
Yeah. That was a pretty cool moment.
Yeah, I know. I know when the first time I got a message from her, I'm like, whoa, I'm like, uh-oh. is this a complaint or a compliment? I'm like, I almost was afraid to open up the message, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, definitely. I completely hear you. Getting to chat with her and helping her get prepared for the GTAs, I was giggling like I was 10 years old the whole time.
Wow, unbelievable. Well, good for you. And then now the awards, there's a lot of them. I'm looking at the list. I got it off your site, and then it's a lot of them, huh?
35 awards, yep.
Wow. And then the Solium, explain that award. What's that, the Solium, for people who don't know?
The Solium, the official definition is that it's the award that set the message boards on fire.
Ah.
And basically, so that's the moment that all of us, as soon as the show were over, rushed over to our computers to log on to our favorite forum to be, oh my God, can you believe they just did that?
Yeah, and this year it was what?
The one-year time jump and Lay Down Your Burdens too.
Yeah, that took it, although it was kind of, we didn't give it away here, I don't think, did we? I don't remember, but I mean, somebody gave it away, and even though reading about it and then seeing it is two different things, seeing how they did it, it wasn't like some kind of Pam Ewing dream or something like that, you know what I'm saying?
Exactly, so, exactly. Yeah, a lot of us, I think, were spoiled that it was going to happen. I used to read spoilers, I've worn them off, but... Yeah. But even knowing what was going to happen, I was still really surprised.
Yeah, that was it was incredible. And then I liked it. First time I heard it, I'm like, oh no, and I heard some kind of twist in the Pam Ewing thing, and they kind of threw that off. And like, Allison, it really wasn't like that at all. They made sense. They jumped ahead a year because they settled on the planet, so make sense, because it make a boring year of the show. Focusing on them on the planet. And then the Caravaggio. Now, what was that one?
Now, that's the moment that surprised even the people that are spoiled, those of us that live in the spoiler threads in the different forums, the moment that even we were surprised by. And like you just mentioned, we knew that the one-year time jump was going to happen, but we were shocked at how it came out and how well it played out.
Yeah. I said, reading about it and hearing the rumors, but then seeing it are two different things. So, and then you had the TOSer?
The tosser. That one caused a little bit of controversy. There were a few of us that were like, no, we don't really need that, but we were convinced by some other folks that the show is very intelligent, and it appreciates that the fans are intelligent, and that we'll call out even stuff that we see that's mistakes because we hold the show to such high standards.
Yeah.
But yeah, the idea of the tosser is that the stuff that, the mistakes that all of us noticed.
And then this year was the relationship between Lee and Duella?
Yeah.
Really?
The message boards were pretty torn up about that one. I think that brought out a lot of shipper hate.
Wow.
Yeah. Many people were not real happy with that from the posts that I've read and such. But I was kind of surprised that one turned out the way that it did. I really thought it was going to go with the miracle cure.
Yeah. That was kind of hokey. In one episode, they managed to cure Rosalind of the cancer. Yeah, that was a little convenient little. Here we go. We'll solve it right away.
Exactly. Yeah. That race was actually pretty close. I'm looking at the numbers right now, and the Lee-Duella relationship only won by 37 votes.
Wow. Now, how close were a lot of these votes? Was it really like neck and neck down to the very end?
Most of them had a really good spread. The closest vote was 7, and that was for sexiest female character. Starbuck inched out number 6 by just a little tiny bit.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And but the best actor category, on the other hand, was a complete runaway. EJO took it with 519 votes.
Wow.
And James Callis got 237, so he won almost by 300.
Wow, unbelievable. It's incredible. And then also you had, was it the Mrs. Ron?
Correct, for the most political moment.
Yeah, and then it was Adama convincing Rosalind to steal the election is not, you know, right in a democracy. Yeah, that was a powerful scene there where he actually, you know, talked her down, you know.
Yeah. And I was kind of surprised. I didn't know how he was going to take that.
Mm-hmm. And go ahead. Oh, hello?
Oh, go ahead.
What was like the second one behind that one?
The second one for that one was, hold on, let me pull that up quick. The decision to outlaw abortion.
Yeah, because she wanted to, in order to, for the human race to, you know, expand, they got to have, like she said, you know, they got to start having babies, you know?
Right, exactly. Yeah.
And then you have sexiest male character. How close was that?
That was actually the closest one to Apollo was no vote. We decided at the last minute to throw no vote into the sexiest male and the sexiest female so that people who were uncomfortable choosing one or the other had another option. So no vote actually came in second to Apollo.
Really? Who was third then?
Hilo.
Oh, Hilo. Yeah, very good. So Leah, Dama won that, Jamie Bamber. And sexy female character, he said, was Cara Therese Starbuck.
Starbuck, and right, by a nose.
And six was second, right?
Correct.
And who was third?
The third there was Boomer.
Boomer, very good.
I expected Boomer to be a lot higher. I know a lot of Boomer lovers personally, and...
Really? Well, I guess, you know, because, well, this season she was kind of really, kind of, you know, she was central, but not really a central character throughout the whole season. She was kind of, you know, she was beat up and, you know, put in that leash and everything else, you know, so I don't know, that wasn't very sexy, but, you know, I guess some people think it's sexy, you know, those in the S&M and everything, I guess, but, you know, six definitely, and, well, even Starbuck really didn't have, trying to think, season one she wore that dress, but really haven't seen her really dress. Well, I guess in that black outfit she wore in, what the hell was that, Black Market?
Sacrifice.
Sacrifice, yeah. So that was kind of sexy, but I mean, other than that, really, we saw her drunk like once, right? And then,
Right.
Yeah, so anyway, and then the most shocking moment.
The most shocking moment, yes. The winner for that one was... Tyrell beating the frack out of Callie.
Yeah, that was amazing there when he beat the hell out of her, you know.
And definitely. And that was another moment that I absolutely did not see coming.
No. They have a way of it. These scenes just come out of nowhere. And like, what the hell just happened there? You know what I mean?
Exactly.
And then the most dramatic moment was, where are we at here? Adama's I'm Getting My Men from the confrontation with Kane.
Yep.
What was second to that one?
The second to that one was,
I mean, it was my Muffet interview, huh? No.
the Centurion March on New Caprica.
Oh.
But that was pretty much a runaway, too.
Really?
Adama's I'm Getting My Men took almost 50% of the vote
in
that category.
Really? Yeah, I guess. Well, that was the last big scene. From the first 10 episodes. So yeah, that was good. But I thought the one with the Cylons marching on New Caprica, that was powerful too.
Definitely. It was nominated for several, actually, for best effects and best action as well.
Wow.
It was shut out in all three.
Huh. Very good. And then funniest moment. Would you have a Cavill's vehement denial of being a Cylon?
Yes. Where he runs right into the copy of himself.
Yeah. And then, I thought it was funny how he kind of gave it away, funny, but it actually turned out to be true with when he was in the counseling session with the chief, when he says, oh, I'm a Cylon, I haven't seen you in any of the meetings. Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought that was funny. But that gave it away, kind of, you know, and then, he was a Cylon after all, you know?
Exactly.
And what else? The best villain, he has Admiral Kane. Wow.
Kane was very popular this year. She also got Best New Character and Best Guest Actress.
Wow. Yeah, I could see. I mean, it was she really dominated. Well, basically, it was a three-parter episode, if you look at it, you know.
Right.
So, that's good for her.
And that was also pretty much a runaway. Baltar was second, but she got at least 20% more votes than he did.
Wow. And then the best usage of the word frack.
That, I think, is what surprised everybody. Everybody thought Callie's mother fracker was going to win that one. So when it turned out to be Rosalind's go frack yourself after the debates, I think everybody was pretty shocked. I was pretty shocked when I saw that one in the results.
Maybe Mary McDonnell stuffed the ballot box in that vote right there. Huh? What do you think? What should call it? Investigation. Where's what's his name when you need him? what the hell's his name now? I forget his name.
Gato,
there we go. Yeah, it's been so long since the show's been on. You know, I'm starting to forget some of these names. You know what I'm saying? and Best Supporting Actor to Aaron Douglas, absolutely, as the chief.
Definitely. Yeah. I was pretty sure that he was going to win. He's very much a favorite, I think, among all of the fans.
He's just great. I mean, especially, I said, I don't know if you were listening, he's coming to Vegas in 2 weeks to be at a sci-fi convention, so that'd be nice.
Oh, cool.
So, yeah,
very cool.
Anybody happens to be in the area at the Las Vegas Convention Center. Sorbo will be there, Gil Gerard, Aaron Gray, some of the others will be there as well. And who's number two to Aaron Douglas?
Michael Hogan as Ty.
Wow, good for him. Good for him. He's a great actor, isn't he?
Oh yeah, I love any scene that has Ty in it.
Yeah, and Best Supporting Actress, of course, Nikki Klein is Callie.
Yep.
Now, who came second to her?
Ellen Ty, actually, or Kate Vernon.
Oh really?
Yep.
Wow. That's a surprise.
And the spread was actually just about the same between the two votes for the chief versus Ty as Callie versus Ellen.
Wow. And then the best ship is the Galactica.
Yep.
Which came in second, the Pegasus?
The Blackbird.
Really? Mm-hmm. Wow. I thought the Pegasus definitely came in second. Where did
the Pegasus is a distant third.
Wow. So the Blackbird was good for the... Now, I noticed on the series, in the old series, they referred to it as the Galactica, but on the new show, they referred to it as Galactica, not the. It's strange. Yeah, I don't know if you go back, they refer to it as Galactica. I'm going back to Galactica, not the Galactica. I don't know. And once in a while, you hear Rosalind slip and say the Galactica, but then like Dama and some areas, Galactica. You know, I guess it's a ship. They refer to it as the. It's called. I don't know why, but I just picked up on that. And also, he had the best relationship was Rosalind and Adama.
That one was kind of a surprise too. Just I think I know a lot of Starbuck and Apollo shippers. But we had a huge turnout of voters from LiveJournal, and there's a huge faction of Adama and Rosalind shippers that post regularly over there. And I think that may have had something to do with it. The LiveJournal people really came out in huge numbers to vote.
Wow. Now, you can track all that? Maybe you're surprised how many people came in and vote? You know, how did this year's voting compare to last year's voting? Was a lot more people voting?
The most accurate number that I was able to get for the number of voters they had last year was somewhere above 100.
Hmm.
And we had 890 voters this year.
Wow.
That were eligible. We had a couple that we had to throw out that were kind of a scam, but we had 890 eligible voters. And then we were able to track from which fan site each of the voters came from.
Really? Which was the most popular?
LiveJournal.
Wow. Where was, how many came from, I don't know if you can pull this up, but like sci-fi.com?
191.
That's it, huh?
Yep.
Wow. Are you surprised? I would have thought more would have came from sci-fi.
I was kind of surprised.
Yeah.
I think the message boards kind of clear out during the hiatus, so perhaps some fans didn't get to see the publicity that was going on. But I was surprised that there were only that few from Skiffy.
Wow. How about, Galactica Station, Ragnar?
We got 45.
Wow,
that's from RA. I was surprised by that low number too.
Yeah, that was a little stunning, but it's amazing. And what else? And then of course, the best screenwriter is Ron Moore.
Correct.
And anybody come in second? He's the only writer.
Actually, that was not that far off of a category. The second was really close. I'm looking for the actual number right now.
Well, he doesn't write all the episodes. I know I read somewhere about somebody like Josh Whedon, he's going to write one this year or something like that. Is that right?
I heard that, somewhere. And I still want to see that episode.
Yeah.
Thompson and Weddle came in close second.
Yeah, Weddle seems to write those big epic episodes, it seems like, huh?
The
huge ones.
I like all of the writers, but I think that the ones that Thompson and Weddle write tend to stand out a little bit for me. Not that RDM isn't a great writer.
Yeah. Then best musical track was Allegro from Home Part 1 and Part 2. I can't remember that music. Was that the singing? The woman singing?
No, that was the music they played when Six was walking Baltar up to where the old opera house used to be.
Oh,
that's
right.
With the swelling violin.
That's right. Oh, okay. I got that. Yeah, but they're spinning around the cradle with the baby in it, right?
That, exactly
there
right.
There you go. And what else? Say and the best line was from Starbuck. Bitch took my ride when the Boomer took off at the Cylon ship, right?
Yep.
Yeah, that was a pretty good scene. We forget all these things. It's good. It's always good to have you on. We can go back and we kind of relive the second season again, you know?
Exactly, exactly.
What came in second to best line?
For best line, let me look real quick here. Sharon's to Adama, you said that humanity... Let me expand.
Oh, you humanity. Oh, it's seen from the planet, right?
Never asked itself why it deserved to survive. Maybe you don't. Correct.
Yeah. Oh, no. I think that's when he had her brought to his quarters. I'm asking why the Cylons hate them so much. I think that was that scene, right?
That's right.
See, I can remember some of this stuff. Once I get my brain going, I can remember most of these scenes. Best guest actor was Dean Stockwell, of course.
Yeah, that was a runaway.
Yeah. And then best hero, already mentioned that. With heroine was Kara Thrace, Starbuck.
Correct.
Are you surprised? She took a couple of these awards. Are you surprised that she was so strong?
I don't know. I think Starbuck has a lot of fans. I think that a lot of people really respect how real she was this season, that she went through. She did so much that really made her look more human this season. I think a lot of people criticized her in the first season for being just an every woman, right? That everything that she attacked, she did super well.
Yeah.
And I think this season we really got to see the more human side of Starbuck and like the Kara side as opposed to the Starbuck front that she puts on.
Yeah, which is good. I mean, I remember when Katie was on, last year or a year, where I'm losing all my time here. But she said she wanted to get away from the super Starbuck we saw in the first season, so that was good.
Yeah, and I think she definitely did that, and I think she did it really well.
Yeah, and then of course, best guest actress, I think we were mentioning, was Michelle Forbes as Admiral Kane.
Yeah.
Best FXing. Now this is where I have a destruction of the resurrection ship. Now I thought that was kind of a letdown. The voters, they all voted, but I thought that was kind of a letdown because they hyped it up like some huge battle scene. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and it was relatively short.
Yeah.
But I gotta say that I was blown away by the effects. Even though the scene wasn't very long, I love how that scene played out in the super slow mo with the music behind it.
True.
I gotta say that I really agreed with that one.
Really? Yeah. Because I thought, that's a good scene too. Yeah. No problem with that. It's a democracy, right? But I mean, I thought that scene from when was that? Captain's Hand? Or was that Captain's Hand when the Pegasus was fighting off the base star? When it jumped in, all hell is breaking loose. I thought that was pretty good.
That was an awesome scene. And I love the scene in Aft Damage Control too, where Apollo shot the Centurion flying over his head.
Oh yeah, with the bazooka gun, whatever that thing was, the rifle.
Rifle. Oh, that was awesome.
Yeah, it was a good scene too. And then that because it flew over his head, and that's when Roslyn saved Billy from getting blasted by the Cylon.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. Right after Duala shaved him from shooting off his leg from having his gun on in his pants.
Yeah, and then Rosalind looks at her jacket and sees there's a hole in it, like she was shot at. But anyway, and then best actor, of course, was Edward James Olmos.
By a mile.
Who came in second to him?
James Callis.
You already mentioned him. I'm sorry.
Right. There were only three actors that qualified in that category anyway. Bamber, Callis, and Olmos.
Really? And then I'm surprised Bamber didn't win it. He's got a huge following. A lot of people like, from that towel scene. I thought that would have carried him through. No?
I was surprised that he didn't get more votes than he did.
Yeah.
I think all the Bamber girls came out to get him elected sexiest.
Yeah. Well, I remember when Katie was on here, she said that, not this recent time, but time before that, he insisted on doing that scene himself. She said, you're crapping me, that you're actually going to drop your towels. She was shocked that he was going to do it himself.
I didn't know that. Yeah, that is fabulous.
And not have a double. He actually did the scene himself. Here she is looking at his ass,
Smiling.
Yeah, and she said, smiling. She goes, that was really her smiling. She was looking over at his ass in that scene. So it's anyway, and what else? The best action scene was the destruction of the resurrection ship.
Right, again.
Yeah, what came in two to that one?
Hold on, let me look right quick. With 35 categories, I've got it as combined as I can.
That's all right.
But there's still a little bit of scrolling that's involved.
Oh, okay. Probably, what else? What came in second?
I believe it was Aft Damage Control.
Aft Damage Control? Yeah, that was a good scene. And then the Geno is Ronald D. Moore.
Correct, correct. Yeah. We're doing a lot for the fans, and Aaron Douglas came in second to that.
Wow. And digital inspiration, Adama giving Rosalind a kiss.
That inspired many a piece of fan art that I've seen.
Yeah.
And actually, and I thought Lee losing his towel was going to win that one, because I think I've seen even more fan art for that.
Yeah, yeah. You see that in the picture in the sci-fi board. You see the image over and over and over and over again. You know, and
animated, blurred out, yeah, every possible incarnation of Lee losing his towel. And there's nothing wrong with that at all.
Oh, no, no. Well, I, no, I like to see Kara lose her towel in a scene this season. I don't know. And, well, you know, because actually that scene, I remember they said, that actually almost threw that in on his own. It wasn't part of the script. He actually threw that in at the end of the scene because it felt like it fitted the scene.
God love him.
Yeah, and the best death scene was Billy. I don't know about that. We really didn't get much of a scene out of him. Didn't he say goodbye to Duella?
A little bit. But I think that's what people liked about it, was that it wasn't an over the top last moment spewing out some kind of wise word sort of death scene. It was pretty realistic. He got shot, he bled, he died.
Yeah.
And the emotion was all in the reactions to that, and less into his actual death scene.
Yeah. I guess you get sick of those long, drawn out, you know, gasping for air and say goodbye, you know, all that. You know, you see all those all the time. And then the best podcast was Lay Down Your Burdens Part 2. I don't know. I stay away from the. I don't know why. I listened to a couple of them. I'm like, oh, I like hearing the ins and outs of the episode. I'm like, just let me watch the show. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And actually, we included no vote for that one, too, because I know not everybody listens to a podcast. And the majority of the folks chose no vote, actually. So I think the podcast fans are pretty small, but loyal.
Yeah. And most underappreciated character is Saul Tai. Absolutely.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that one.
Absolutely. Like I say, and they say, if they're going to, I don't know if they're going to kill off Olmos or not, or Adama, but I mean, if they do, you know, I say they can soap it up kind of and have Ty turn out to be Starbuck's father.
Ooh,
wouldn't that be something? If you look at them, they kind of, sort of resemble each other. It would be a good way to keep the family dynamic going on the series. You know, if they have to, you know, kill off Adama if Olmos doesn't want to keep doing the show, you know.
Right.
I'm not saying he's going to leave, but if it comes down to that, you know what I'm saying?
Definitely.
And Ty would be interesting to see, because he was a, you know, he bungled when he was in command the first time around. It'd be interesting to see how he do a second time around. I don't know. I'm just, you know, babbling. And the best new character, of course, is Admiral Kane.
Right.
Yeah. Who came in second to that?
Brother Cavill.
And that's amazing, because Cavill was only on a few scenes and a few episodes. You know, so was Kane, but Kane like dominated those episodes. You know?
Oh yeah, both of them stole every scene they were in.
Yeah, and the best costume was Six's outfits throughout the season.
Yes.
Yeah, they should have a lack of outfits. They should put that lack of outfits. You know? And best makeup, Gina's bruises, cuts, and scrapes as a result of her torture. Yeah, that was gruesome. Seeing those scenes, that was horrible. What came in second? Was that Starbuck on Caprica?
Callie's bruises, actually.
Beat her up. And the best set design was Kara's apartment on Caprica.
Yes.
That was amazing. And then they had the thing on the wall, the mural on the wall that she made and everything.
And I heard recently that she and the actor that plays Hilo actually did most of that art themselves in preparation for that scene.
Oh, yeah. Well, with Katie and Tomo?
Yes, I was afraid to say it out loud because I've never heard it out loud.
Oh, yeah. His family is some, I can't remember now. His family is some political family up in Canada, up in way up there in the North Country. I don't know where the hell it is. The Yukon, I think. There's some kind of, he's some kind of a, I don't know, royalty or big political family up there in the Yukon.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
It's interesting because I had him on. See if I get him back on, though. I had him on like a year ago. Excuse me, I'm burping. I'm drinking ambrosia. You know? I had him on. He was saying, I mentioned his family. His family's got some political connection up in the Yukon.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah. So he's got royal blood in his veins, I think. So,
very cool.
Yeah, and then, so now the awards. Now, what are you guys going to do now after this is over? You gonna?
Well, I'm still kind of celebrating and recovering and drinking beer and such. But we are planning to put together, Mrs. Ron actually made the suggestion over at Skiffy to do some sort of video presentation that she would see to it that got shown to the cast at their wrap party in November. So right now we're kind of putting our heads together to come up with the best way that we can do a video presentation for the GPAs that we can pass on to her.
Really? How would you manage that? I mean, I don't understand. He'd, what do you mean, do of the scenes or...
Well, actually, we're batting around a couple of ideas. We've considered having different people who were presenters or part of the show do their own video clip, and then we edit it all in together. We've considered there's a couple of different options. We're still trying to hammer out the details, but it seems like a cool idea to try to run with. So
yeah, but also a lot of work. It sounds like it's gonna be a heartache, or a headache.
Yeah. It definitely sounds like a lot of work, but I don't think any of us really shy away from that too much.
No. Well, it might be some way you could do it over the internet, some kind of a streaming thing that you can capture on a computer and edit together somehow. I don't know.
Exactly. Yeah, we just need to figure out some ideas and get all of us on the same page.
Yeah. Well, it'd be interesting. Like, some people are saying, well, I wish they could stream the awards. I'm like, I don't know. And then you have to be all sitting in one room doing the awards then.
Right. And that's pretty difficult. We had presenters from all over the world, all kinds of different time zones. So, yeah, I don't think we could ever pull that off. But
no. Well, that'd be still kind of nice. What are you looking forward to in the third season before we let you go? What does the third season look like to you?
I don't know. I'm really excited about it. Like I said, I'm trying to avoid spoilers at all costs, and that's pretty difficult. But I don't know. I'm excited to see some of the secondary characters develop a little bit more. I'm curious to see how the Cylon occupation plays out, especially after reading some of the speculation from some of my fan-wanking friends about how they think it's going to come together. But I'm really excited about it, and October can't get here soon enough.
Yeah, how about, you looking forward to Caprica?
I do. I've only read a little bit about it, but I'm always interested in backstory, and they've told such a great story with Battlestar Galactica, knowing a little bit more of the behind-the-scenes stuff for what brought these people to where they are sounds really interesting.
Oh, very cool. Now, I don't know if you saw caught the interview last week with Leah, but she kind of dropped the bomb that there's another spinoff in the midst as well.
Really?
Yeah, but now people are saying maybe she's referring to the webisodes and not another series. So I'm not sure about that, but she did kind of, she heard there was two spinoffs, in the brew, as I say, I guess. I don't know. But I guess Caprica, I like to see them do one with, they should have done one with Resistance on Caprica.
That would be interesting. Now, that's what I had heard the webisodes were going to be about.
Yeah. No, that's be a new Caprica. I mean, they should have done with what's his name? Blanders and the others.
Blanders.
on old Caprica,
Oh, right on.
Yeah, kind of like the old series War of the Worlds. They did like a Resistance thing to the War of the, on the old series War of the Worlds. It was like a Resistance episode.
Interesting.
Yeah, so. Well, Michelle, anything to say to the listeners before we let you go? Because Koenig is in the wings here.
Not at all. Thanks for your support of the Golden Toaster Awards, and we're glad everybody had fun.
Well, very good. Well, Michelle, we thank you for being on. We'll have to have you back.
All right, great. Thanks.
All right, thank you very much.
All right.
All right, have a good one.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And that was Michelle from HangarDeck5.com. We thank her very much for giving us the rundown on the Golden Toaster Awards. And in a moment, we'll be joined by Koenig Rules, and we'll talk about the Superman movie as well as, what do you call it? He says Lorette Spang has expressed interest in Battlestar Galactica. So, of course, remember her from, she was, what the hell is her name? Cassiopeia on the original series. So, that'd be nice seeing her back on. And maybe as a regular, maybe Sol's, Ty's new wife. Wow. It'd be kind of interesting seeing her on the new series. I wonder what she looks like now, And that was nice hearing about the Golden Toasters Awards. I say I try to keep up at home, but the damn thing, I haven't dialed up, so I was always like five pages behind. And, of course, by the time I saw that Mrs. Ram was on, by the time I caught up, she was already off the show. So, so we joined. And GLZ says, I thought I heard a couple months ago about another spinoff, more about Cylons or Resistance. So we'll see about that. And I think now we're joined by Mr. Koenig Rules. I think we're joined by Koenig Rules.
Hey, you got the season 2 soundtrack.
No. I managed to pick that off of some other website. Lawsuits can be directed to Mr. Consoler.
It's great music.
Yeah.
I hope you get it.
I will. I can't find it out here. That's what I'm saying. It's a nightmare. You can't find.
You can't order it through Amazon.
Oh, there's the music. Uh-oh.
You can order it through Amazon.com.
Yeah, yeah. I don't like ordering through the internet. I like going to the store. And,
really?
Yeah, because I always picking through and picking the one that with the least amount of wrinkles on the wrapper. That way I know it hasn't been manhandled by somebody. So, anyway, seriously, I like going and grabbing it myself and actually buying it. You know, this thing with the, I don't know. You know, I don't trust this thing called the internet. It's just too new for
really?
Me. Yeah, I'm kidding.
Really? Okay.
No, I just like going there and doing the whole thing. So, anyway, what'd you think? Michelle was on. It was very good.
Yes, I know.
Yes, upon your suggestion. Thank you very much for the suggestion.
No problem. It's a big thing, the Golden Toaster Awards, and I know the Moors are behind it 100%. So,
yeah.
I mean, it's good.
Yeah,
you know?
Well, it's good to see that they showed up and had a participation in it and everything, and it was quite informative, so it was very good. Now, did you see the Superman movie?
Oh, yes.
Really? Now,
And I could see some of the mixed reviews because the first half almost seems like a remake, if you will, of Superman 1. But then it really kicks off, and by the second half of the movie, it starts developing its own mythos. If you view it as a continuation of Superman 1 and Superman 2, especially Superman 2, where he loses his powers and sleeps with Lois, hence explaining the baby. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, then it'll make a lot of sense. But if you just go for it, and if it stands on its own merits, it's going to be a little bit like what happened, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, somebody else I know saw it, and they said, well, it was good, but it's like you could tell the producers were kind of in love with the original movies, huh?
Right.
Yeah.
I think there were a couple things that could have been worked on. First, the lead, Brandon Routh, he looks a lot like Chris Reeves, but they needed to have him develop more sense of humor.
Really?
I mean, it's just he stares a lot. He looks really troubled in a lot of scenes. He looks like a brooding Batman, you know, Bruce Wayne.
Yeah.
And he doesn't crack too many jokes, and it's a really serious type of film, too. I would say they made this film a lot darker than the Superman 1 and Superman 2, and they made it more like Batman, and it didn't seem like they were having as much fun with this movie as they did with the Chris Reeves movie.
Really?
And I'm not saying that they weren't respecting the mythos. Bryan Singer... did an excellent job there, but I think he respected it so much, he wasn't willing to add that extra step of humor and the interplay with the character. So, I mean, it had the elements of a great film, but it just didn't achieve greatness. I liked X-Men 3 a lot better.
Really? Well, I mean, somebody I know from work went to see it, and they said, well, it was kind of disturbing because Brandon Routh looked too much like Christopher Reeve, and you're haunted by that.
Right.
And the music is from the Superman movies. I'm not spoiling anything, but it's from the Superman. With the names coming down on the screen, and all that.
Yeah.
And all that's a throwback to the original movies. And I said that was nice, but it was also spooky at the same time because they all know Reeve is dead, and you know, I don't know. It would have been kind of nice. It would have restarted the whole thing like it did with the Batman Begins.
Right.
You know?
Right.
When does Ned Beatty show up in the movie?
Ned Beatty. They don't have a...
Cletus?
Well,
Cletus doesn't show up?
assistant? Woman with Lex. She comes across a little bit funny, but you're right. Even Lex Luthor at times comes across, and who's played by Kevin Spacey, way too serious. And they have one scene in particular where it really turns dark, where Superman loses his powers due to kryptonite.
Uh-oh.
And they're beating the crap out of him. And it's sort of like, whoa. You know, I mean, this reminded me of Superman 2, where he lost his powers.
Oh,
and
that guy beat him up at
the guy
diner.
In the bar starts beating him up, and it's sort of like, whoa. You know, and it was a scene that may have been 2 minutes long, and then they moved on from that.
Yeah.
In this movie, it was like a full 5 minutes, and it was really depressing at times. I noticed the audience reaction by the time it ended, and it was 2.5-hour film.
Oh.
You know, it was like it ended, you heard the theme song again, but no claps. Huh. I mean, it was almost like people were a little bit exhausted, drained. I mean, they didn't know if it was okay to clap. I mean, it just seemed like it induced a solemnness in the people. I mean, without the fun.
Huh.
So, I would see it again. I mean, I do want to add it in my collection. I mean, it's good, but it's not great.
Yeah, it doesn't. They say it doesn't compare that well to the Batman Begins from last year.
Now, I do have to say this: the girl who's Kate Bosworth was much better than Katie Holmes in Batman Begins.
Yeah.
I really didn't like her in Batman Begins because she was too young, and I don't know. But the Lois Lane character, she grew on you right away, and they have the Cyclops guy.
Oh, he shows up?
He's the beau of Lois. He's her husband, James Marsden.
Oh.
Yeah.
Him from the X-Men.
It was nice to see him without the visor. I figured, I noticed this guy from somewhere, and then it dawned on me. Yeah. That's Cyclops from the X-Men.
Huh. Now, any references to Batman?
Any references to Batman?
Any bat signal in the air or anything? No, I like Batman. I just wonder, is there any... I remember in the...
But they did have some nice cameos from Jimmy Olsen and Lois Lane from the TV show of the 50s.
Oh, my goodness. They're still around? Are they pushing them around in a wheelchair or what?
Well, Noelle Neal is in her 80s, and she was the heiress that Luther was with. And Jack Larson, who was Jimmy Olsen, plays a bartender. So that was cool seeing both of them in the film.
Any nods towards Christopher Reeve at all? They didn't dedicate the movie to him or anything? No.
I'm trying to think. No, I can't remember.
I would have thought they would have done some kind of nod towards him. You know.
They might have.
Really?
I mean, it was a strange setup where. He's been away for 5 years because astronomers think they've spotted the planet Krypton, so he goes off to try to find remnants of his home planet, and for 5 years he's gone.
Ugh.
I guess that's how long it takes to go there and back, and of course he finds nothing
from
supposedly,
Cobol. Or not Cobol, Krypton.
Right. And he
moved
him
to Cobol.
and his character, I mean his image, is exactly the same, but Lois looks different. Perry White looks different.
Yeah.
Jimmy looks different.
Yeah,
it was very bizarre, you know.
Yeah, well, Perry White's Frank Langella, and his big claim to fame was in the Flash Gordon movie. He played that villain in that with the mask on.
Oh yes,
like they should have just kept Superman the same and put him in a different setting.
Exactly, or restarted the whole thing.
No, you know, he goes away for 5 years, comes back. But
everybody's
don't
different.
Bring back any of the other characters.
Yeah,
maybe
dead.
Lex Luthor because he's a bad guy.
Right.
But Lois Lane, forget that. Forget him working at working in a different newspaper.
Yeah, I'm looking at the Las Vegas Review Journal.
Yeah, something.
you know
the Chicago Sun-Times. There you go.
you know why I think it didn't quite do as well as in my mind? Because Smallville, I watch consistently. And I like the characters on Smallville, and even Tom Welling. I mentioned this, I think, on your show.
He's older.
He's 2 years older than Brandon. And they have done so much more with Smallville in terms of adding to the Superman mythos and yet developing different characters that I guess I was spoiled with the Smallville series, so I figured, well, if Smallville can do this, what more could be done with a major motion picture, and I guess it was sort of like it paid tribute too much to the original, even down to the same villain, Lex Luthor, with his quest for land, which is also mentioned in Superman 1, that, wow, couldn't they have dealt with another villain from the Superman universe, you
Brainiac,
know?
Brainiac, he's got all kinds of villains.
Exactly. And they didn't. They went with Lex Luthor from 1 and 2.
Yeah.
And, you know, it just isn't the same.
Well, and then, plus, I think maybe people are sick of Superman because you got the Smallville series that's been on for years. Yeah, you know, and you know, then everybody hears about this, and he looks like Christopher Reeve, and he's gay and all this stuff. It's like, oh, brother, and people might just get hit over the head with this stuff.
I think you're right. Probably with Batman, There was nothing to compare it to on television because it's been off the television for a while.
Years.
The movies, there's been a significant gap.
Yeah.
With Superman, let's face it, they've had some syndicated shows.
Superboy.
Like Superboy, Lois and Clark, Smallville. They've always had Superman on television in some form or other to keep it alive. So there's only so much, I guess, you can do then on the big screen, and you would expect maybe Singer to do something a little bit more daring.
Yeah. Now, before we run out of time, I want to touch about the 4400. Now, I was blown away. You should have told me that the Autons are on it, and then
the what?
The Autons are on the 4400.
Where the Autons? What are you watching?
From Doctor Who. The Autons showed up. I was watching 4400 last week, and
yes,
this girl turns around with no face. I'm like, oh my God, it's a Doctor Who.
Oh,
it's Doctor Who.
That was a good show.
It was.
I mean, because it's now in season 3 is exploring the mythos of the humans in the future. And this is really, Sean, one of the few episodes where they deal with the humans of the future and why they're doing this. And there's some factions, some bad humans.
I mean, it's
really developing at a quick pace this season. But I'm sure you were still a little bit lost, maybe.
And then it blew me away when I saw the Borg Queen stand there. I'm like, what's the Borg Queen doing standing there?
Yes.
What's her name?
And she was a character that was introduced the week before. So actually, you saw part two of a two-parter.
Oh, Alice Krieg. That's who it was.
Yeah, Alice Krieg. Yeah.
She showed up. I'm like, oh my God, it's the Borg Queen. And then the Autons show up again. It was Star Trek and Doctor Who came together.
I thought you were having a bit of the bubbly before the show. You know.
Not only that, you had that guy who was on the Da Vinci Code. He's on there playing that guy who made that one guy cut his arm. Sean character.
Yes.
I almost expected Doc Cottle to show up.
Yeah. He was on Deadwood too, I think.
Oh, he's just jumping
maybe
around.
Maybe the first season or something like that of Deadwood. Yeah, but right.
Yeah. But it was a nice episode. They ended it with that guy, I don't know.
the agent who has to now kill Isabel.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, he got that girl. I don't know. All these kids came back that they were saved. I don't know. I lost. You know, I was like completely. What the hell's going on here? You know, because it blew me. For, you know, the Borg Queen blew me away in there. You know, and then he brought all these kids back, and that woman, she was close to death, and she came back for her daughter and everything. And they ended it. Yeah, you know, it was a pretty good way they ended it. Now we don't know what happened to that Sean. He was cutting himself up because that guy was.
Yeah, he was.
We don't know if he's dead or not, huh?
And next week, one of the cast of the 4400 died.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, and I don't know which one it is.
Yeah. So. When did the Cylons show up on that show? No Cylons? No.
You're bad.
Any boilers? Oh, you got a boiler from Doctor Who.
Boiler for Doctor Who.
The new assistant.
What?
The new assistant.
Yes. We were right. It is going to be that assistant that I mentioned. I sent that to you.
Yeah, Freema.
Edgemon. And it looks like she's
Vidriminiman, right?
Or Indian, I mean.
Oh, well, that's nice.
You know, I saw her picture, but and she's in her 20s, and she looks pretty good.
Yeah, what's her name? Vida Verma, what's her name? Fema Vidriminiman, is that the thing that Lucy...
Freema.
Edgemon. Edgemon, okay. Is that the name of that thing that Lucy was trying to sell in I Love Lucy?
Bad.
Vida Minjamin?
Medjavidum.
So anyway.
You're on your age, Sean.
Yeah.
By the way, I did hear something that Loretta Spang, who played Cassiopeia on the old Battlestar Galactica, is interested in being on the new series.
Oh, I'm sure she is. She wants a paycheck.
In fact, if you frequent the boards, Josh Whedon from Buffy has seen the first season or maybe the first two seasons, the box set. And TNT really likes the show. I mean, it's just developing this following now.
Wow. Yeah, so he's not directing and writing an episode, is he? I must have just
read
that.
No, he isn't. But if he is loving the show, I wouldn't be at all surprised if he doesn't get involved in some fashion.
Maybe he can dust off, what do you call it then, and bring it back, Firefly, huh?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Maybe. Mm. And if Loretta Spang is interested, boy, wouldn't you say Saul might be looking for a new
wife?
New mate?
Yeah, that'd be interesting. With the one eye, with I'm a pirate. By your command. Polly wants a cracker. By your command. So that'd be interesting. Yeah, Loretta Spang. Wow, I wonder what she looks like now, huh?
Oh, no, she looks good.
Really?
I checked her site. She looks very good.
Hmm.
She looks very good.
Really?
What can I say?
Uh-oh. Uh-oh, Koenig. Okay, we'll let you go.
Okay.
All right, we'll talk to you next week.
Yes.
All right, thank you very much.
You take care.
All right, thank you.
Happy 4th.
Happy 4th of July.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Happy 4th of July, everybody. We thank you for joining us on this very good program. And thank you, everybody, for being on the program. Thank you to Michelle. Thank you again to Koenig. Thank you, everybody, in the chat room. And, of course, thank you, everybody, listening live and listening on the podcast. And in the morning from 10 to 12 is Daily Noise, which is its two-year anniversary. Congratulations. And then Friday is Spank Wagon, followed by King Hesh, subjecttodiscussion.com. An email is subjecttodiscussion@lvrocks.com. Good night, and have a pleasant tomorrow.
Originating from Las Vegas, Nevada, you're listening to LV Rocks. Noise from Vegas.